It's good to be here. To all you members, all the guests, it's a privilege and an honor. Anytime I get to stand in God's stead, I am grateful for that. And so thank God for the praise team, for the powerful prayer that we had in the back. And it's just good to be back again. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles. And you see in your program, our text today will come from the book of Philippians. Very familiar passage for a lot of folk. It's one of those that's not a long reading. You can read it over and over for a month, and I tell you, it'll just give you a greater and greater understanding of God's Word. But Philippians chapter 1, come down to verse number 27. I want to just deal with the last three verses primarily. And if you would, and don't mind, Abel, let's stand to honor God's Word. Amen. I'll read it from the English Standard Version. Your version may be a little differently, but we will know where we are. Verse 27 says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in any by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." Pray with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to talk for a little while about, Lord God, what it is you would have us to do in standing, Lord God, for what we believe in. We pray today that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would have his way. Lord God, take our minds now and, Lord, captivate them. Lord God, encapsulate them. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, even more so this morning as we yield to you, God. We yield, oh God, we lay aside everything that would keep us from hearing you, anything that would distract us from you. And we pray, Father, that, Lord God, in the end, you get glory. We pray that, Lord, some man, some woman, some boy, some girl will be helped, oh God. We come to edify your people. We come to glorify your name today. We celebrate you, God, and we say hallelujah, and we give you the highest praises, and we thank you in advance, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We thank God for this privilege. We live in a time that people struggle sometimes standing for what's right. People don't mind standing. They just struggle sometimes in what it is that they stand for. And I want to talk to us about standing for what it is that we believe in. And you know and I know that we are living. If you don't know it, you need to wake up. We're living in some evil days. We're living in perilous times, as some folk would say. We got another indication of that over in Paris, France this week. We're living in some evil times. But in spite of that, people still have a tendency to struggle with what's evil and what's good. Folk call evil good and they call good evil. I don't know what kind of mixed up world that is, but that's where we live today. People struggle to do what is unpopular. People struggle to do that which is not always what gets them the most fame and fortune. Now, if we struggle that hard in deciding what's evil and what's good, what's right and what's wrong, and there's no absolutes, if we struggle in all those things, we're in trouble, because when you do away with the supernatural, one guy says all you have left is the natural. And I don't know about you, but my natural is a mess. Am I by myself? My natural is a mess, and I am what I am because of the supernatural, because of what God did in my life today. So Paul finds himself in a very familiar place. He finds himself in this text today, a place that he's often was familiar with, and that was in the Philippian jail. Rome had gotten him once again for doing that which Paul was convicted to do. And in this chapter, there's a beautiful illustration of the true spirit of a Christian, circumstances that are exceedingly trying, circumstances that are difficult. And if you walk with God and you're a child of God, you're going to have some difficult circumstances. Paul the apostle, he's there. He finds himself where religion would sometimes show itself. If there were any in the heart, and where there's none, there's this bad passion of our nature that would be developed. Paul was a prisoner. Paul had been unjustly accused, rightly accused of preaching the gospel, but unjustly accused of doing that which was wrong. He was about to be put on trial for his life. Paul was in serious trouble, and you and I know the outcome of the story, but they didn't know at that time. There's a possibility. Paul is in prison. He's on his way to meet his maker. This maker that you've been talking about, Paul, we're going to send you to see him, but as we know, it was not time yet. There were folk that were his enemies. They were doing everything they could to make it even worse on Paul's imprisonment, and at the same time trying to advance the gospel for their own good. They had their own agenda. They had their own set of priorities. And whenever you read the book of Philippians, you know as well as I do that Paul faces this. Why? Because he's taken a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody once said, and you know as well as I do, that if you take a stand, you're going to deal with some stuff. And if you're not willing to stand for something, you'll do what? You'll fall for anything. If there's anything that we need to take a stance for, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this. I know that if we fail to stand for Jesus, we can stand for a whole lot of things. But if he's not our number one priority, everything else is in vain. Some folks struggle for him to be number one in their life. But you can stand for all the stuff you want to. But if Jesus is not first and foremost, our standing is really just in vain, because he and us are the only thing that's going to last forever. God's going to be here forever. His word's going to be here forever. Humans are going to be here forever somewhere. In one place or another, all of us are going to spend eternity. Amen. One way or another, we're going to be here in destruction, or we're going to be in heaven celebrating with God. But one way or another, we're going to be here. And so if we're not willing to stand for him, everything else is really, really in vain. Heaven and earth going to pass away. He said, but my word will be here. It'll be here when everything else is gone. My word will be here. And with God, you and I can stand. Trust me, we can stand for anything. Now, don't get me wrong. If you stand, you're going to face some opposition. If you stand up against what's wrong, you will have to deal with some difficult things. And in this little text, I want to just lift up three or four things that Paul tries to teach us about standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The King James Version, when you read it in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation, he calls it your conversation, let it become of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So first, let's look at the manner of our walk. We need to know that as we walk, our conduct, the word in the original language, he's dealing with really the citizenship. He says your citizenship needs to reflect who you really are. In other words, religion needs to have an impact on your walk if you're a child of God. Your words need to line up with your walk. You let your conversation, let this one thing that is of weight be of the same weight of the other. I don't need to be saying one thing and doing something totally different. Paul said your conversation and your walk need to look just alike. If I talk it, I ought to walk it. If I walk it, I should be able to talk it. He said, let them line up. So the manner of our walk ought to be a heavenly walk. You are not going to be here. I am not going to be here on this earth forever. I said we'll be somewhere, but it won't be here. We'll be somewhere, wherever that new heaven is or wherever that hell is that one is cast down into. We're going to be somewhere. But we are citizens of the kingdom of God. This earth is not our home. Do y'all know anybody that lives like this is home? They're packing up stuff. They're getting all this stuff ready. They're collecting all this stuff like we're going to be here forever. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? But trust me, this is not home. We're going to leave all this stuff one day. We need to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. That means we're not going to look like this world in which we live. We're just really pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're just passing through this place down here on earth. We're striving for something better. So don't get too attached. Don't get too caught up in trying to look like everybody else. Don't get too caught up in trying to be like everybody else. Don't get so caught up in trying to be accepted of everybody else, because you're supposed to be, I'm supposed to be different from them. My walk ought to look a little different from the world's walk. He said the manner of your walk ought to be a heavenly walk. If I confess Jesus Christ, I ought to conduct myself like a child of God. Doesn't matter where I go. ought to look like Jesus. Ephesians says that you ought to, in verse 1 says, you ought to walk worthy. You ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Walk worthy of that. Not that we are worthy and we've earned it. Not that we deserve it, but walk worthy of it because God loved you enough to call you to it. Anybody ever used to walk different? Has your walk changed in the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 20, 30, 50, 60 years? Has your walk changed, or have you always been holy and righteous and sanctimonious and saved and filled? My walk was not always what it is today. And so I know that I'm not worthy of what God has given me, but because of his amazing grace, I am that I am today. I am what I am today. He said, but walk worthy of that. And walk worthy as a prisoner of the Lord. Walk with lowliness. Walk with meekness, he says, with long suffering, forbearing one another in spirit and in the bond of peace. Saints of God, whenever you're willing to stand right, trust me, you can walk right. And when you walk right, you can stand right. The book of Colossians says that we ought to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If we choose to stand for God, yeah, we're going to have some folk go against us. If we choose to stand for God, there's going to be some people that's going to be in opposition to us. Paul over in later in this book, in chapter 3, Paul talks about those. He said, there's many who walk of whom I have told you often. I've told you about them, and now I'm telling you in weeping that they are enemies of the cross. What a label to have beside your name. An enemy of the cross, but you know I once was an enemy of the cross. You once were an enemy of the cross. Paul says they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction. He says whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame and their mind is their earthly thing. Now, I don't know if he was talking about the Epicureans. I don't know if he was talking about false doctrine, false teachers. I don't know if he was talking about folk in the church. But whoever it was not walking according to God's command. They were not preaching Jesus Christ. They were not living the way that they should be living. And Paul says their end is destruction. You know, you're either for him or against him. There is no in between. You're either for him or you're against him. And whatever, he said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Don't you know that whatever takes over in your life, that becomes your God. Their physical appetite, their physical appeasement was the prized thing in their life. Paul said their end is destruction. And so our manner of walk ought to be one that's a kingdom walk. It ought to be a kingdom walk that looks like Christ. But what about the message of our walk? Paul in verse 27, he says, let your manner of conversation of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that when I come and see you or I'm absent from you, I may hear of you that you're standing in one spirit. Paul said, whether I get there or not, I hope to hear that you're doing what God would call you to do. What is the message of your walk? Paul says, y'all need to stand whether I show up or not. Stick together and be one whether I'm there or whether I'm absent. Know that I'm praying for you, but whatever you do, let me hear the good news. I don't know of anything that blesses a parent's heart more. When their kids go off to school and they go to college, they start having to make their own decisions. They start having to make their own choice. You've done everything you know how. Some of y'all been there, right? You've done everything you know to do, and you're just hoping and praying because you're not there now. It's 12 o'clock on a Friday night. It's 1 o'clock on a... You just hope and pray that your children, not your children, but your children are making good decisions. Y'all don't hear me. You're praying that they're getting up going to class. You're praying that they're not indulging in drugs. You're praying that they're not in promiscuity. You're praying that they hold on to what it is that you've taught them. And time begins to meander on down the road, and all of a sudden you can do it, because of technology, you don't even have to wait on report cards like we did back in the day. You don't have to wait on grades to come in like we did back in the day. You just go on the internet and look at it. You can see exactly what they're doing. Doesn't it do your heart good to look and see that your child is achieving? And that automatically tells you, hey, if they're achieving in class, they're doing what's right in class, they must be doing something right when they're not in class. Nothing is greater than to have that good report that said they're doing what I've tried to teach them to do. They're doing all that mama and daddy has given them, all that grandmama has given them, all that granddad, nothing puts a smile on a parent's face greater than when their kids are doing what we think they ought to be doing. That makes your heart glad. Paul said, look, Philippians, whatever you do, y'all keep going on regardless. Keep doing whether I show up or whether I don't show up. Man may not always show up. You're going to run into some things in life, but whether man shows up or not, you keep doing what God has called you to do. See, because Christianity has never been about being popular. It's never been about show. It's never been about pleasing others. It's always been about pleasing the one who sees everything and the one who knows everything, the one who heals all things. That's what it's really all about. He's the one that we represent. It's not all about us. It's all about him. It's never a religion or a matter of convenience. It's a matter of doing what God has called me to do. No matter if people see you and praise you or not, you keep doing as unto the Lord. If the preacher never says thank you, you keep doing as unto the Lord. If the church doesn't say we appreciate you, keep doing as unto the Lord. If people don't support you, you keep doing as unto the Lord, because God doesn't miss anything. God sees it all. God knows what we're doing. He says you ought to conduct yourself, whether you're in the streets or you're in the church. It's easy to be saved, sanctified, and filled while we're sitting up here looking at each other. That's no problem, is it? Singing holy, 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 and all. That's easy. But oh, what about when I go out into a mean world in which I live? What about when I go out and face those people that are in opposition to me? Am I able to conduct myself in a way that pleases my God? People talk about the difference in reputation and character. Reputation is an easy thing because folk can tell you anything they want to about who you are, who I am. Man, you could build me up. I could be everything, including the President of the United States, based on reputation, on what somebody tells you. But that doesn't mean that's who I really am. No. What we want to really have is good character. He says, conduct yourself, and good conduct is going to produce good character. Character is who am I? One guy says, when nobody else is around. Who am I when I'm in that room all by myself? Who am I when I'm all alone? Who am I when nobody else is there to line me up or to praise me or to rebuke me? Who am I then? That's the character that we're looking for, that God is looking for. Who am I when nobody else is around? He says, your conduct ought to demonstrate great character. This walk, remember, it's not about us. It's about who we represent. It's about the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we fail to do what he wants, do we find ourselves sometimes convicted because, Jesus, I misrepresented you today? When I look back at how I talked to that man, how I talked to that woman, how I talked to my boss, how I worked for my boss, do I look back and say, you know, Jesus, I really didn't represent you well today. I really embarrassed you today because I didn't do what I knew was right. He says, hey, conduct yourself in a way that is certainly characteristic of Jesus Christ. Paul was exhorting them to stand, and he exhorts us today to stand. Our message for which we stand is a heavenly message, and you can't present a heavenly message if you're not heavenly minded. You have to be heavenly minded in order for the message to be a heavenly message. Paul said it this way. He said, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that's in Christ. Think the way our Lord thinks. In order to do that, I got to spend time with him. In order to do that, I got to be in his word. He says, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. Paul says this message is a heavenly message, but it's one of unity. He says, y'all be of one spirit. Whether I come and see you, I hear of you fair, stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together. The strength of the church is when we are united under the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not called to uniformity, but we are called to unity. God calls us to be one. It's important that we demonstrate unity this day, these times in which we live. The world will gang up on us. We need to make sure that we unite as one. He says there's strength in unity. There's miraculous things that go on when people unite. He says, I want you to be striving together as one, of the same mind, with one spirit. And the word that Paul used, it's like an athletic team. Have you ever seen a quarterback by himself win a Super Bowl? Doesn't happen. You ever seen a running back by himself win Super Bowl? Does not happen. Paul uses the word that deals with competition. People have to come together as a team, and we compete and we engage in this warfare. He says, you got to come together. And you walk down through the book of Acts, miracles took place when people were in one place on one accord. We're in one place. Hopefully we're on one accord. God moves in the midst of unity. God has always desired us to be together. Jesus even said it this way. He said, look, I pray that they may be what? One. I pray that they'll be one like we're one. I pray that they'll be in you and we in them, that like you're in me. He said, I pray that they will be one. Saints of God, if we're not careful, we start lining up our own agenda, standing for our own stuff, standing for our own priorities. But we have to learn how to lay aside our differences, lay aside our mindset, lay aside our priorities, and line up with the concerns of Jesus Christ. Because that's where the power is when we unite and come together. I guarantee you, I just believe with all my heart, my soul, my mind, that this U.S. of A. would be a different U.S. of A. today. If all of God's children would come together on one accord, disagreeing, looking different, that's okay. That's all good, because he made us all anyway. Everybody wasn't made good looking like me. I got you, didn't I? He made us. And he made us uniquely different, but we're all special to God Almighty, but we're all his. Why? Because of the blood that was shed for us, because of the one that laid down his life. He said, disagree if you want to. When it's all said and done, come back together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have some adversaries, but come back together as one for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? If we decide on something in church, and yes, not, doesn't fit what you wanted to happen, move on. Put that behind you. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press toward the mark. That I wanted red carpet and they got blue. I wanted a piano and they got an organ. What? Just put that behind you and remember that it's all about the cause of Christ. We have. I thank God for all the churches. I'm grateful for all the churches. But I am a little bothered sometimes about why we end up with all the churches. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, somebody got mad. Somebody didn't like the way you interpreted speaking in tongues. Somebody didn't like the way you took the Lord's Supper. Somebody didn't like the way you read. Somebody didn't like the way you preached. We have all these churches, but it ends up starting on division, and then we never come back together to unite like God wants us to. Satan loves that. Satan loves for us to be divided, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. He said, this is the gospel of unity. I'm going to stand for what God says. See, as long as I don't get caught up in my own stuff, I don't have to worry. Just line up with what God tells me to do. Stand for what's right, no matter what. We need to make sure that our message is the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when you got all kind of folk preaching all kind of stuff nowadays, y'all know that, right? Y'all watch television every now and then. You've seen many of our TV evangelists. They're preaching all kind of wonderful stuff. Prosperity to God. Everybody's going to be rich. Everybody's going to be healed. And, you know, and all those things. Everybody's going to heaven. There's many different ways to get to heaven. You find all kinds of stuff out there. But that's not the gospel that Paul's talking about. That's not the gospel I hope that I preach. But I preach that there is one way. And he said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we preach this gospel, when we stand for this gospel, it is got to be about Jesus and his office. It's got to be about Jesus and his person. It's about the character of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. You preach about Jesus Christ, then you're preaching the gospel that he preached. No Christ, no gospel. No gospel, no Christ. You got to preach Jesus if you're going to preach the gospel. You can stand up and give a whole lot of talks, but if you hadn't talked about Jesus Christ, if you hadn't preached him and his office and who he is, you're not preaching the real gospel, he said. Paul says, God forbid that I should know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel message points to Jesus Christ born in a manger. The gospel message points to Jesus Christ who hung on Calvary's cross. The gospel message points to a Jesus that laid down his life in a borrowed tomb. The gospel message points to a Christ that laid down, but then on the third day, he got up and went on back to be with his Father. The gospel points to the second advent of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ points to him reigning as King of Kings one day and Lord of Lords. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one. He's the one that we deal with. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so the manner of our message needs to be a message of love. I don't need to be talking about condemning somebody into hell. I don't need to be running somebody down, but I do need to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. I can tell them the good news, and then I can tell them the bad news, or they can kind of pull it out for themselves, because he said, without me, you'll never get in to eternity with God Almighty. But it ought to be done in love. Speak everything in love. But that's the message that you and I have been given. That's the message that we ought to share. The gospel is the thing that can take away the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. I'm starting to feel my help now. I'm going to go on and preach this thing here in a minute. But I want to tell you, when I start talking about Jesus Christ, I get a little bit excited. I wasn't always what I am today. And I'm excited about what he's done in my life. And you ought to be excited if he's done anything in your life. I get excited about everything else. You ought to get excited about Jesus Christ. You're not who you are because of you. You're who you are because of him. But know this, that if you preach that message, the one that reconciled us back to God, you talk that message if you want to, you're going to have some trouble in this world. Oh, yeah, we need to know the man of our walk. We need to know the message of our walk. But realize that you're going to have some malicious haters in this world. Verse 28 says, in nothing terrified by your adversary. You know what an adversary is. I don't have to tell you that. You've had one or two of them in this life. And if you preach Jesus Christ, you will have some adversary. Go to a college. Some of you have been there. When we were there, you pray in class, pledge of allegiance to the flag, did all kinds of things. You go there today talking about some Christianity if you want to. You can talk about everything else in class, but you talk about Christianity, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be scandalized and everything else because you stand for somebody that creates friction. Jesus, I love it when he came. People think that he came to bring peace. He didn't come to bring peace. No. He came to divide. He came to separate. He came to separate down here because one day in heaven, there's going to be some separation up there. Sheep and goats, left and right. He came to separate. He said, even your own household, hard pill to swallow. Because God, we won't put family above everything. But if I put family above Jesus, guess what's wrong with that? That becomes my God if I'm not careful. He said, whatever you do, don't let any relationship or anything compete with your love for me. That's a hard pill to swallow. But be willing to stand for it. If you're going to do what God calls you to do, Matthew says, blessed are you whenever you're persecuted. People are going to revile you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to say all kinds of evil against you. We hadn't had a whole lot of that. You might have. You may have been in places where you have. But for the most part, we hadn't had a whole lot of it. We go through normal grief. We get sick. We catch a cold. We have flu. We have surgery. Get lied on every now and then, backstabbed every now and then, unappreciated every now and then, betrayed every now and then. But we hadn't gone through what a lot of our brothers and sisters abroad are going through, laying down their life for the gospel, laying down their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'd like to hope and pray that we don't ever get there, but I'm not sure if we will or not when I look at the direction in which we're headed. Because, see, God is a God of consistency. And sooner or later, he's going to deal with a nation that turns their back on God. And saints of God, if my people who are called by my name turn from their wicked way, pray. God said he'd do what? He'll heal the land. We'll hear from heaven, and he'll heal the land. If we don't come together and unite, we're in serious trouble. Don't expect the world to do it. He said, my people. We're talking about y'all that are called by my name, y'all that have become my children. You're going to have some adversaries, but it's always been. It's not new. Peter said, don't y'all think that it's strange, this fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you. Don't think that it's something strange. No. It's not new. It's been around all this time. You're just now getting a chance to see it. He said, but whatever you do, rejoice. Rejoice as so far and you get to share in Jesus Christ's suffering, that you may rejoice also and be glad when his glory is revealed. We have got to go through some things if we're going to stand for Jesus Christ. But look what he said. He said, but don't be terrified of your enemies. Don't be bothered by your adversaries, because as we move toward the end of this little message, he says you don't have to be bothered because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Stand for what you believe in because of Jesus Christ. He's given us that wonderful privilege to be able to be identified with him as part in suffering with him, because we are his children. Now, I know it's not something we go out looking for. I understand that. Now, if I told you I love suffering today, you could say that preacher sure stood up and lied today. Because I don't. My first response is I want to get away from it. I want it behind me. I don't want to deal with it. But it's part of it. And if I've got to suffer for him, he suffered for me, and I ought to be willing to do that. You know, we need to do what we can while we can. Stand up for that which is right. I'm not talking about walking around carrying some flag. I'm not talking about walking around carrying some sign. I'm talking about living the life and walking it out the way God called us to walk it out. There's a lot of battles that go on out there. I'm not sure if it's in the name of Christ or if it's in the name of just doing it. I'm not sure about that. It's not my place to sort that out. But I know this, if you live it the way he wants you to live it, you're going to deal with some persecutions in this world in which we live. The Bible says that we ought to walk by faith. In order for us to stand for the faith that we have, we must believe. You can't stand for what you don't believe in. And you're not going to believe in what you're not willing to stand for. The question on the table today is, will you stand? Will you compromise? I've said it many times. If a guy walked in here today with a gun, said denounce your faith or you die, I'd like to say that I would not denounce my faith. That's what I'd like to say. That's what I believe today. But I really don't know if I do that or not. I can't say for sure, and neither can you. You'd like to think you could. You'd like to think that's what you'd say. You'd like to think that you're willing to die for Jesus Christ. But I hope and pray that we're rooted enough that no matter what comes our way, we're willing to stand for righteousness' sake and stand for Jesus Christ. Because there's wonderful merits in standing for him. John says it this way, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons or children of God. There's great merits in standing for God. Paul said, look, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul said, guess what? You've seen what I'm going through? You're going to get a chance to share in some of the same stuff because you're willing to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Standing with Jesus Christ qualifies us to be his children. John says in 1:13 that you were born not of the flesh, but you were born of the blood. You were not born of the will of man. No one, John says in John 6, can come to the Father unless he draws you. And so it's a gift that God gives us, that we get to come to him. And if we stand for God, he said, guess what? If you stand, you get a chance to get raised up. Because if we stand for him on that last day, we'll be raised with him. By grace, we've been saved through faith, not of our own selves. He said, guess what? It is the gift of God. And since God has given us his gift, God says, why don't you stand for what it is that you ought to be standing for? Folks stand for politics. They stand for all kind of religious things. Some folks stand for good causes. Some folks stand for bad causes. If you stand for bad cause and suffer, then you've suffered justly. But if you stand for good and forget why you're doing it, then you've suffered for the wrong reason. It loses its value. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you this. You stand for Jesus Christ, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. It may seem wrong, it may seem terrible, but know that he made a promise. All things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. But you need to know that while you can't go wrong, you're going to have some wrong stuff happen in your life. If you're willing to stand for Jesus, some stuff will happen. Historically, it's always been that way. Anybody that stood for God has always had to go through some stuff. If you don't believe it, come here, Peter and John. Why do you end up in the jailhouse in the book of Acts? Why? Because you stood for Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas ended up locked up. Why? Because they stood for Jesus Christ. Paul ended up flogged. He ended up beaten. He ended up shipwrecked and eventually ended up being beheaded. Why? Because he stood, for Jesus Christ. John, come here, John. Tell them about how you got your head cut off. Why? Because you preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man marrying his brother's wife. When you stand for what's wrong, sometimes there's going to be a great cause involved in that. If that's not enough, go back to the Old Testament. A couple of fellows by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood for what was right, and because of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. A little fellow by the name of Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he refused what? To defile himself, because he stood for that which was right. And if you and I stand, we are going to endure some stuff in this life in which we live. Being a Christian has never been a popular thing to do. We don't live in a world where popularity is what it's all about. Stephen could tell you that because he gave up his life standing for Jesus Christ, stoned to death, because he stood for that which was right. I understand if you stand for him, you may lose your job. If you stand for him, you may be demoted. If you stand, I was in a class with a fellow the other night, and he was telling me about how because he's a Christian, they know he's a Christian. He doesn't condone a lot of stuff that other folk do. In 6 years, he's been denied a raise. Everybody else gets a raise, but in 6 years, he's been denied a raise. Why? Because he stands for Jesus Christ. But you and I both know that while we may not see the rewards down here, God is a God that cannot lie. You give up for him, he's going to take care of you. He's going to give back to you 30, 60, even 100-fold. You may not get it down here. Go home today thinking preacher said you go give it up, you're going to get it down here. You may not get it down here, but our God is faithful to his word, and you'll get it where it counts up in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. No, but take care of getting your stuff to go on before you. We're living in a time that it's not popular to stand for Jesus Christ. It's okay to stand for God, but don't stand for Jesus Christ. God could be anything or anybody, but don't stand for Jesus Christ. That's where we are today. That's where we live today. That's the times in which we live. But I want to tell you, God takes care of those who are willing to stand for him. You know, when you go to a place like down south in Florida, they had made place for a satanic temple during the Christmas holiday season, because they had to do what was right and feared the legal things that would go on. You go up northeast and there's a $75,000 lawsuit that had to be paid to a homosexual advocacy group because of a 7-year-old son who was confused about who he was. And because he couldn't use the bathroom that he wanted to. The teachers were having to escort him and that kind of thing. $75,000. We're living in some difficult times. We're going to face some times to where we have to stand for that which is right. You go farther on up north in Minnesota, a boy who used to be a boy and now chooses to play on the girls' softball team, soccer team, that's okay. In 33 other states, that's already taking place. You think we're not living in some different and some difficult times? Yes, we are. But if we as God's children are willing to stand for him, at some point, we're going to have some trouble. But you know the good news, the best thing about it all, and I'm going to my seat, is the fact that our Lord wouldn't ask us to stand. He wouldn't ask us to do anything that he himself has not done. Our Lord has suffered just like you and I will have to suffer. Because our Lord stood before Pilate. Our Lord stood before Herod. Our Lord stood when he went to the garden. Our Lord stood when he had to hang on that rugged cross. He stood even when he laid down in that grave. But because he chose to stand, today he's seated at the right hand side of the Father. Because he stood, he gives you and me strength to stand, because there he is. He knew that if I be lifted up, that I'll draw all men unto me. He was willing to stand. He was willing to die because he loved you and I that much. And if we're ever going to be able to stand, we cannot stand in our own strength. But we've got to stand in the strength of God Almighty. Oh, yes, it may look like he's absent sometime, but I'm here to tell you he made a promise. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And if you'll just be willing to stand, I will be right there with you. The God of all gods, the God that is sovereign, the God that knew you before you were ever knit together in your mother's womb, the God of all strength, the God of all power, is the one that will give you the strength to stand. And so when you're faced with opposition, when you're faced with adversaries, when you're faced with having to try to do something that you know goes against God's will, know that God has got your back. I may run off and leave you, but God will never leave you. I may let you down, but God will never let you down. God will be there for us. He was there for his son, and he'll be there for you, and he'll be there for me. Whatever we do, saints of God, don't go around condemning people. Don't go around killing folk. But whatever you do, make sure they understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what makes the difference in folks' lives. That's what it is that transforms people today. That's what changes people's lives when they see us walk it out. I may not have to open my mouth if I can just walk it out sometimes. Do it that way. And it makes a difference in people's lives when they know that I can have something different. Don't you know we live in a hurting and a broken world? We serve in hurting churches. And God is available. That everything that's going on today is of no surprise to you. You're sovereign. You're God. And Lord, you're totally in control. And even though people have, Lord God, opposed you since time, we know that in the end, we win. In the end, we're victorious, O God, because you have overcome this world. So, Father, take us, your people, now. Give us great wisdom, O Father. Give us great strength, God. Give us the wisdom to know when to talk and when to be quiet. Give us strength, O God, to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, to walk in a way that's inviting to others, to walk in a way that will cause curiosity in people. Let everything that we do, God, bring glory to your name. Let what we do, O God, bless your people as we stand for righteousness' sake. Lord, we do it in your power. We do it according to your spirit and according to your word. But we do it, God, not for show, but we do it for your glory, because you are God. And we pray, God, thy kingdom come, and we pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God, build us up wherever we may be torn down. Encourage us where we might be discouraged. Heal men and make whole where we might be broken, O God, that we can be the servants of God that you've called us to be. And we bless you, God, for your son Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. Amen.